Blog Talk Radio.
Illinois 60626.
This two-room garden level chef specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian taps and carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, and we are back with the sensational author, Judith Martin. How are you, beloved?
Hi.
How are you? How are you, beloved?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure. And just relax. We're going to have a great time. The title of your book is so interesting. I can't wait till we get into that. But first, I want to know, what city were you born in?
I was born in Montego Bay, Jamaica, actually.
Ah, that beautiful accent, girl.
Yes.
Yes.
That gave us a surprise.
Yes, yes. And your laughter, it is so befitting. I am so happy to have you. So how long were you in Jamaica before you came to America?
I lived there until I was about 12, and then I immigrated to America.
I see. And
so
which city did you? Which
I
city
first
did
lived
you
in
immigrate?
Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, and then from Boston, I moved to Atlanta, where I'm currently residing.
And that is. And that is.
Can you hear me?
What city are you residing in now? I see. Okay.
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. So that's quite a change from Boston to Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
And from,
no more bad winters.
And I might add, from Jamaica to Boston is also a shock.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. It's like from one extreme weather to like another, you know, from a beautiful, nice, warm, tropical, you know, weather to like, you know, snowy and cold and icy. So, but I adjusted perfectly. I adjusted perfectly, but then I got tired of it, and so I moved away.
I don't blame you. I'm trying to make an exodus out of Chicago myself, and it gets too brutal here in the wintertime. So tell us, Judith, what was art like in your home while growing up?
Okay. Well, when I was growing up, I was surrounded by, like, a lot of art. We lived on, like, 6 acres of land in Jamaica. It was land that we inherited from our ancestors. And inside of the home was I would say was artistic, because like we were surrounded by a lot of like the tropical fruit trees. We had like banana trees, mango trees, coconut trees.
Yeah.
And inside of the home was like in the center of the land. So it was almost like a little fairy tale, kind of like, you know, life, you know, being brought up like with like your own fruit trees in your own backyard where you can go and pick. You know, when you're hungry, you don't have to go to the market like some people who don't have these trees at their houses. And so
yes,
just how I grew up, like really, really beautiful, surrounded by like every kind of fruit tree possible. And inside of the home, inside of the home. Yeah, I was really blessed because, you know, some people, they might be renting a home and, you know, the home might not have too much land on it, so they don't have any trees. But I had every type of fruit tree possible, you know. So, like, we would just go and just pick whenever we were hungry. And, you know, the fruit was obviously in season. And inside of the
May I say something on the, may I say something on this point while you are still here and I can remember? But one of my greatest pleasures I've had, and I'd say several years, was I bought an organic mango, and it was so different from the traditional poisonous mangoes that you buy in a box here. And I splurged and I spent extra money and I bought an organic mango and I thought I was in heaven. I was licking my
fingers, licking
the palms of my hands.
Oh my God, it was that delicious.
Yes, I licked the palms of my hands. It was so good and I still remember it. It doesn't take very much to get me please, and that definitely was a treat from the Most High.
Organic mango. I really buy like a tropical fruit, and that's a tropical fruit considering that you're an American.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Americans have never had a mango.
Oh, well, I've had mangoes, but they were never organic.
Right. It was one
of them. Yeah, and when I got the organic, it was like night and day.
Wow.
And
I'm
just
glad
to
you like
imagine that is. That's what you guys eat every day down in Jamaica, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, especially in my household, yes, directly from the tree. Like there was nothing sprayed on it. It just grew naturally on the tree. Whenever they rise, we would pick them, or sometimes they would fall off and we'd just pick them up from the ground. That's how I grew up. It was really beautiful.
One of these days, on the follow-up interview, I'm definitely going to ask you, why did you leave that splendid land with the fruit? And I can't imagine that. But let's proceed. You were talking about your artists that you were surrounded by. What kind of artists were you surrounded by?
Okay, like inside of the home, it was nicely decorated. We had a lot of artistic pictures put up, because Jamaicans are very artistic people. So, like, we had, like, you know, like art that was, like, done by, like, Rastafarian, like wood-carved, like, animals and things like that. And certain types of, like, decorations, like, for the home that you would put on, like, your nightstand and things like that were made from, like, chalk. Those were, like, very common when I was growing up. In Jamaica. Also, like, different paintings and things like that of, like, just the general population of, like, women and older people, you know, things that we would buy in the market. Like, my grandmother had them put up, like, you know, throughout the home, like, in the living room and in the different bedrooms, you know. So I grew up, like, in that type of artistic setting.
Oh, my goodness. So how do you think it impacted you at that age? Being surrounded by all that splendid art from your own culture at that.
Oh my God, it impacted me in such a positive way, because growing up on that, like, land, that 6 acres of land that belonged to us, and the home being in the center of the land, and, you know, the home, the inside of it being so nicely and artistically decorated, it just made me feel like a princess, and always, like, I was always embraced, and I was always told that I was beautiful. So I just grew up with, like, a very strong sense of self, you know, that I was beautiful, and, you know, I was, you know, precious, and I was wanted, and you know, and that's just the feeling I've always had. So my whole life, I've just been showered with praises, you know, from family members, naturally, you know, because that's where it begins, at home. And then just people, like, you know, in the streets, like, whenever I went out to church or to school, you know, because I'm my mother's only child, so she took very, 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 very good care of me. And, you know, she's like a very artistic kind of person herself. Like, she loved gardens and things like that. And, you know, she always, like, loved beautiful settings. And so, like, that kind of, like, just kind of, like, triggered, you know, me to be the kind of person that I am, like, you know, the way my mother is.
That is a wonderful setting, beloved. And I'm beginning to observe, for the most part, all of my guests have been in a very positive environment, so they flourished in the arts. It's only one that I can think of that had a very austere upbringing, and yet she surmounted it, and so she made my show as well. But for the most part, people who flourish in the arts have that support and that art in their homes that they were involved with. So what was art like in school for you? How did art impact you in school?
Okay. Also, like in school, like we would have like actually I have a picture like when I was young and I was at what they call basic school in Jamaica, but I guess over here it would be like be considered like pre-K. Like you go there when you're like three and 4 years old, you go to what they call basic school. And so I have a picture till this day. It's a group picture. And what it was, I think it was like Valentine's Day in Jamaica. So we did our own little like cards for our, like for our parents. And I remember actually even drawing, you know, this this nice little card for my mother. Yeah, it's a picture I still have to this day. Like me and like maybe like 20 other children, we're just standing there. We're just holding these nice little artistic cards that we designed ourselves, you know, with obviously with the help of the teachers. So like in school, that school actually, and it was one of the rarer schools ever in Jamaica because it was like very artistic because like the teacher, like she instilled like a sense of pride in like all of the students. So she had like a little section of it, and what she did, she turned it into like sort of like a little dollhouse for like the girls, and then like for the boys, she had like a little section that was like very masculine with like trucks and things like that. So like even when you went to school, you felt sort of like wanted, and I would never forget that.
That is so crucial. To grow up in your own culture, it's impressive to me to grow up in your own culture and to have your own teachers who look like you, who love you to the point where they want to share the information, and it is not a job, but it is a pleasure, unlike over here. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the lovely and the talented Judith Martin. She is the author of The Goddess of Beauty, and we'll be getting back to that. But before that, I would like to tell you that we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Go by there and speak with Samson and his lovely wife, Heru. They are the owner and the host. And let me tell you, the decorum is fit for a king as well as the food. Lalibela's at 5633 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, and we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located at 111th and Cicero, conveniently for you on the southwest side of Chicago. They have ample parking, and moreover, they have 500 flavors of popcorn. You can imagine the flavor they have it. So do yourself a favor, go over to Popcorn Haven. You'll be glad that you did. And we're black with Judith Martin. And we're going to ask you now, Judith, when did you become exposed to literature?
Okay. I would say, like, from I was very young, I would say maybe around age 9 or 10, I became, like, fascinated with the world, believe it or not. You know, on top of me, you know, always feeling beautiful and feeling glamorous because, you know, I was, you know, told I was beautiful and made to feel special. We needed to buy atlases when I was younger, I believe like for like fifth grade. So I bought an atlas. And so naturally I would always like just take it out. I couldn't see pictures of anybody, but I could see the different, you know, countries, you know, on this atlas that I had to buy. And so I would just always be amazed by the different lands, and I would always wonder, like, what the different types of people look like, you know, like, around the world. So I would say, like, from, like, a very young age, I was, like, fascinated, you know, with the world and its people.
Are you a people person? Do you like observing people?
I'm very much like a people person. I'm very like globally conscious. Like this book here that I wrote, The Goddess of Beauty, is actually a part of a series. This particular book is about a Nigerian goddess known as Goddess Oshun. But in the series, I also have women that are from China, women that are from Japan, women that are from Ethiopia. I heard you just mention Lali Bella, which I'm very familiar with. It's a city in Ethiopia, actually, that was founded by King Lali Bella, who
yes,
had made a trip to Jerusalem. Yes, I'm very familiar with Ethiopia. I'm very familiar with
it's a magnificent city. Yes, it's a magnificent city, and the temple is magnificently constructed out of a mountain.
Yes, 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 because King Lali Bella, he made a trip to Jerusalem, which is, you know, the holy city of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And so he knew that all the Ethiopians could not travel to Jerusalem, so basically he wanted to create Jerusalem in Africa, in Ethiopia. So he created his own city, and he built all the churches and all the temples. And so, like, Lali Bella became the Jerusalem, you know, but just within Africa. Africa's Jerusalem basically was what Lali Bella was supposed to be. So I know a little bit about that.
You know, it was a fascinating story, beloved, and I thank you for that. Many of the people of the world need to know how magnificent the Ethiopians were in their masonry, as well as we know about the ancient Kemetans and the Egyptians and the Nubians and theirs. The Ethiopians have quite a big badge of honor to wear when you look at that temple in Lali Bella.
Yes, yes. And one of my children's book, a couple of my children's book, one that's completely done, is going to be about like an Ethiopian empress. So I have Ethiopian women in my series as well. And,
oh my God!
This one,
oh my God!
I mean, I don't want. Huh? Yeah, it's gonna be a series. It's a complete series with women from all over the world. I have Native American as well. I have Europeans. It's basically like a beautiful realm of beautiful women from around the world that have made, you know, major contributions to the world, but not necessarily, you know, got the recognition that they deserve. So that's what it's about. And it's just really a matter of time before, you know, it becomes really popular. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. And so I started on my own with The Goddess of Beauty, which is a self-published book. I published it all on my own.
Yes. Let's talk about the first time that you heard a story read, or you read a story, and it actually resonated in your soul for the first time. What story was that?
Okay, let me try and see. I think, like, when I was younger, it was one of the stories. I can't say it's the only one, but it's the only one I can think of right now, was the story about the Pied Piper, I believe.
Yes.
And the Pied Piper, like, what did he do? He, I guess, was able to get, like, what is it, the rodents out of the city through music?
Yes.
To, like, playing, like, an instrument?
That sounds familiar. He had a flute or a pipe. Yeah, okay.
He blew, like, the Pied Piper, right, and he was able to get the rodents out of the city. That's one of them. And then when I was growing up, we also heard, like, little stories about Anansi, which is like a famous spider from the Ashanti culture in Ghana, in West Africa. And being from Jamaica, we have a lot of Ashanti ancestors that were, you know, brought over to the island, you know, during, you know, you know, the tragic days of the Atlantic slave trade. So stories like that, you know, the Anansi story ones, I would have to say, some of them were the best because, you know, Anansi is like a little trickster and he does like little tricks and stuff like that. And let me just also add that I also have an Ashanti princess that's a part of my series.
Well, listen, can you give us a reading from this book of yours? And we'll talk about it when you come back, The Goddess of Beauty. Would you like some background music behind that or some soft music or
no,
naked?
No, I can read it. I can read it just as is without the music. Okay, this is like from the opening. This is like the second page of it, and I think that the children will really like this. So it says, Oshun is the goddess of beauty, the most beautiful woman that has walked the earth. She has elegant ebony skin, full lips, and shapely hips. She loves fine clothing, and yellow is her favorite color. She adores jewelry made from gold and cowrie shells. She loves birds, especially parrots and peacocks. Her spirit lies in the river and in all the sweet waters of the world. The Patakis say that the goddess has a kind heart and has done amazing things no other Orisha or human could do. And this is basically like at the very beginning of the story when the young girl who's feeling insecure hears about Oshun. These are like the first sentences that she hears, just how beautiful and glamorous and how well-loved Oshun was. So this story basically helps the little girl to, you know, overcome her fears, you know, of like not being beautiful. And so, you know, in the end, after she hears about all the amazing things that the goddess did while she was on Earth, she falls in love with her. And so she admires her and then aspires to be like her ancestor, the goddess of beauty, Oshun.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful summary, madam. That's a beautiful, beautiful summary. So tell us, what precipitated that book?
Well, as in all of the books, basically, I wanted like beautiful and powerful women from all around the world to be a part of the series. With this particular one here, I wanted Oshun to be represented because I wanted like a beauty icon that most of the people like in Africa, or specifically, I guess maybe like Saharan Africa, and then the descendants can relate to. And she had all the qualifications. You know, she comes from the Yoruba people, and the Yoruba are the one of the largest ethnic groups in Africa. They number 40 million, and they live in southwestern Nigeria. They live also in across the border in the country Benin and another country called Togo. And because their population is so very large, and also a lot of their traditions were brought over here by our ancestors, just as with the Ashanti people, and a lot of it actually survived. The Orisha culture survived and is actually thriving in places like Trinidad and in Haiti. But the only thing is, like in Haiti, for example, they tend not to have the original names of the Orishas because they were forbidden from practicing the native African, you know, religious belief system. So they kind of use disguised names. In Haiti, they call Oshun Erzuli, and that was their way of sort of like disguising her, because if she was to be called Oshun by the African name, then, you know, it would be detected. So the Haitians are magnificent people.
Yes, indeed, beloved. Have you ever been to Africa?
No, but I would definitely love to go. I mean, I would love to tour all of it, but if I'm not able to tour all of it in my lifetime, I definitely have, like, certain areas I'd want to go to, like Nigeria, where this goddess originated. And I definitely would like to go to the heart of Africa, like in Uganda, Rwanda, and Congo, for example.
Congo.
And definitely, you know, Congo. Mm-hmm, Congo is, like, so tremendously wealthy. You know, with all the diamonds.
Is that right?
You know. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Rich.
I've heard of the wealth of Nigeria, but tell the audience what you know about the Congolese wealth.
They have like a lot of diamonds in the Congo, but you know, because I guess different, you know, political issues that they're having, you know, it's not, you know, where it should be in terms of like its development and, you know, the export of these diamonds. But they have diamonds as well as other like precious stones. I think Nigeria's wealth is mostly in oil, it's an oil that comes from like the southern areas. But I mean, Africa on a whole is rich in natural resources. I mean, down in southern Africa, they have a lot of gold as well.
Yes, yes, and diamonds. But you know, when I look at Africa, and then if you want to get to the, in my opinion, if you want to get to the actual soul of that continent, you got to go into the center. And you say that that's where the diamonds are. And that would tell me
like the Congo
that,
area.
Yeah, that tells me that the center of the planet is very rich. Very rich in minerals, very rich in everything. Everything that is needed to sustain life, it is there. I must get there, beloved. I have been doing research on prices because I'm on Social Security, and you can live like a king in many countries in Africa for less than your Social Security and have money left over to put in the bank.
Okay.
And I'm talking about lavish parts of Ethiopia. You know,
yeah.
I'll just say this.
Yeah. Well, my books on Ethiopia are coming up at a later date.
Say that again, please.
No, I said my books on Ethiopia, they'll be coming up at a later date. You know, I have some Ethiopian women that are featured in the series.
Tell us about the research. Tell us about the research you did for the Ethiopian women.
For the Ethiopian women as well as for all of the books, it requires a lot of reading, a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a lot. Like my goal is to do 2 every month. Sometimes I'm not able to because some books are thicker than others. But for the most part, like every year, I really read a lot of books. Like right now, like my room is just like, you know, filled with like books like all over the place. And
mm-hmm.
to me, like everybody needs to read because like knowledge, you know, as they say, is power. And you know, I've been empowered as a result of reading these books, and not only books, but I've also read like a lot of articles as well. And this just goes back, like I said, like to the time like I got my first atlas. You know, when I was like about 9 or 10. You know, I've just been like fascinated by the world and the different types of people there were. So that's also a part of the inspiration for writing these books on these beautiful women from around the world. It's just, you know, it combines my love for fashion and beauty and also my love for global cultures. So it's a dual passion. Global cultures
wow.
and then the world of beauty and glamour. Yeah. So and I think little girls are gonna love them. Like little girls all over the world because, you know, I have like, you know, books from like every culture. Like every girl will be able to look at a woman and identify, you know, with that woman. Like Goddess of Shun, which is mostly like, you know, women in like central, southern, eastern, and western Africa, as well as the diaspora who possesses the features of Oshun, and also like in the highlands of like Ethiopia and Eritrea, I have the Ethiopian women that have, you know, that type of features that they have. You know, I have European women who are blonde and blue eyes. I have Asian women with rounded faces, you know, and long black hair. I have a little bit of everybody. I'm sorry, me and my description, but, you know, it's not intended to be mean. It's just, you know, they're just words, and, you know, I'm just describing people. Same thing, you know, I have Native American that will, you know, have the reddish undertone and the long hair and, you know, just a little bit of everybody. Because
yeah.
I think that's the only
yeah.
way to really improve the situation with women and young girls and their self-esteem is to embrace all the different types of features, you know, from the different types of cultures around the world. And then when you do that, then you make every woman, well, starting out as girls, you make them feel very special at a very young age, kind of like how my mother and my aunts and all my other relatives made me feel special when I was growing up. So you got to start at a very young age. And when you do that, then the situation will improve with women. Like, you know, they'll no longer grow up to feel insecure, or they won't be fighting amongst themselves so much. Oh, this one is more beautiful. You know, this type of feature
yes.
gets more praise, more recognition than the other. And it shouldn't be, because we're like a global community. You know, there's 3.5 billion women on the planet. There is enough room, you know, for all women to be celebrated and to be acknowledged. And that's why I didn't want to do fairy tale stories, you know. So I chose the other route, which is to use real women from
yes.
from history,
yes,
you know, that
yes.
are not so
yes.
recognized. Because a fairy tale story They're nice and they're cute, but they don't say a lot. But when you use real woman, you'll be able to really impact little girls' lives so much more, because then they can look at a map and say, okay, Goddess Oshun, she comes from Nigeria, you know. And, you know, Nigeria's a real place, you know, that they can connect with. Or, you know, this empress that comes from China. Oh, China is a country. They can relate to China. Period. That just makes them feel good, and that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the lovely and the talented Judith Martin, and we will be right back with her. We're going to take a quick pause and listen to this, and we'll be right back.
My education was done in Boston, Massachusetts. I graduated from high school there, specifically North Cambridge Catholic High, which is a Catholic high school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Cambridge, you know, is right next to Boston. And from there, I went to Bay State College, which was like a two-year college at the time, and I got an associate degree in business management. And later on, I went to Lesley University, which is also in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I got a bachelor's degree also in business management. and that's pretty much my my education.
Yeah, and that's magnificent education at that. I applaud you.
Thank you.
So tell us, what got you interested in literature? What was the spark?
Spark is like I'm a very passionate person when it comes to you know, certain issues that, you know, pertain to like women and their beauty and their self-esteem. And instead of me just maybe just having like a debate about it or complaining or whining, why not express it? Why not put it in the form of literature, you know? Some people might choose to do poems, you know, some people might choose to do like a magazine, like a female magazine. But with mine, it was a collection of my books, you know. Like, put it in literature, like, you know, write it down. And that's what I've been doing, like, going on, like, 10 years now. I mean, I started out writing, like, some poems years ago, but that just wasn't me, you know. Like, poetry wasn't me. It's, to me, it's these books. It's children's books because they combine, like, you know, my love for glamour and fashion and also my love for the global culture. And so it's been, like, a great marriage, the two of them.
Did you, when you embarked upon writing, could you foresee that there would be series of books that you would write, or how did that come about?
To be honest with you, I didn't start out necessarily. I wanted it to be about women of the world, but I never necessarily thought, okay, I could have like four or five different women from China. I never foresaw it like that, you know. I always thought maybe if I just had one from China, that would be enough. But as you learn and you go along, you realize that it's not necessary to have just one from Ethiopia, you know, for example. You can have two or three, as long as they're great stories and as long as these women contributed to human civilization. Why not have two or three Ethiopian women, you know? Why not have like two Russian women as opposed to just one? So, you know, I was going in with that idea, and I realized that, oh my God, it could be endless. You know, why stop? You know, one time one of my friends said, Well, why stop at a certain amount, Judith? Why, you know, why not continue? And I realized that it was really true, because in some of the countries I have multiple women, because, you know, different women from that culture contributed, you know, in a really nice way to, you know, to human civilization. And I think, you know, I'm the beauty ambassador, and I need to tell these stories to the world.
Judith, it is such a pleasure talking with you. Time is really waning, but please give your contact information for people to book you for speaking engagements, what have you. Give your contact information, please.
Okay, well, my website is www.thegoddessofbeauty.com, as well as people can find me on Facebook. They can just type in The Goddess of Beauty, and my webpage will come up that shows my beautiful book with Goddess Ashun on the cover in her yellow dress. Also, they can contact me directly at judith@thegoddessofbeauty.com, and also my phone number, 404-344-3431.
I want to give you love and light, beloved, and I look forward to having another episode with you down the road. Would you be agreeable with that?
Oh, absolutely. It's been so fun. It's been so fun being here. I really enjoyed it. Because it's nice to talk to somebody that has like a little bit of like knowledge, you know, about the different things that you know. So then it's not so foreign.
Thanks, beloved. Good thanks.
Thank you so much.
So, would you kindly, when you listen to the show in a few minutes, it will be available. Would you kindly hit the follow button? I need your statistics as well.
Sure.
All right. I want to reach 11 minutes to your level. Good night.
Okay. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome, beloved.